Welcome to Barroom Movies, a podcast about movies that are rotten, but we love. This episode, we're doing something a little bit different because we've been gone for a little while. We didn't get to do the New Year, New Me thing, which, you know, kind of glad we didn't. But so we're doing a little something different this episode. But before that, we have Brady Curtis.
Welcome back, everybody.
Kirk Wettig.
Hey, how's it going? Hockey season's back.
Yep.
Blackhawks are doing shit right now, though. So, God damn it.
All year's hockey season if you're part of our Canadian viewers up there to north.
That's very true.
Yeah.
And I am Matt the Bobotron Bowen. Thank you, everybody, for coming back. Hope you had a safe and happy holiday season. Hope you had a happy new year. We're in 2021.
We made it.
And remember when we said 2020 was going to be the worst year ever?
I never said that. I think it's just trickling down. It's still the effect of 20. It's like, it's... It's not Obama's fault. It was Bush's fault. It was the previous president, you know. It's a trickle-down effect.
It really is.
It rolls down the hill.
So what we're going to do today is talk about some highlights of last year, though, in the movie range. So we're going to do our top five favorite movies today. And we're also going to do some honorable mentions, as well as some movies that might have disappointed us. Now, we're going to do this. Each person goes by their five. And actually, what we'd like you to do too is on our Instagram and Twitter and in Facebook, tell us some of your favorite movies of 2020 and let us know some ones that you're just like, fuck, that sucked. We were really hoping that was a lot better. I mean, we've all been in quarantine for fucking 8 months, 10 months now. And we've all watched some good movies and we've watched some shit movies. So let's start off with Brady.
I'm Ron Burgundy. Yeah, so my top five for movies that got released in 2020. I'm going to start off down at the bottom and work my way to the top.
That's a good way to start.
Oh, yeah. Number five, we've got Color Out of Space with Nicolas Cage. If you haven't seen it, definitely go out and watch it. I've got a little bit more to talk about it later, so I won't get into it too much, but it's based on a H.P. Lovecraft story, and it's got Nick Cage in it. What more do I need to tell you? Go out and watch it.
Yeah.
It's a cheap rental, too. It's available on VOD, and
Shudder.
It's not very much.
It's on Shudder, too.
And it's on Shudder. Number four, Mortal Kombat movie, the Mortal Kombat Annihilation animated movie that came out. That's probably one of the best animated movies I've ever seen. When it first got released, I saw that it had like a 95% on Rotten Tomatoes, because on Vudu, it'll show you like what it ranks on Rotten Tomatoes before you decide to rent it or whatever. And I'm like, God damn, that is super fucking high for an animated movie, because Rotten Tomatoes usually isn't that high unless it's like a Pixar Disney animated movie. So I'm like, I gotta watch this. And I ended up buying it anyway, even though it's only like an hour and 10 minutes long. It's super short.
It's fucking like an
anime?
Awesome,
but it's like anime kind of style, or
it's more like the like DC animated movies that have come out, like the animated like Batman, like Son of Batman, like that kind of style of animation.
Cool.
But it is really fucking brutal. It goes into Scorpion's like whole backstory and how he's in like the Nether Realm and like gets his powers and like comes back to fight in the tournament and shit. And like they like a lot of the kill scenes, they'll actually show it as like a KO. Like it is in the video game Mortal Kombat.
That's pretty gory.
Yeah.
It is very gory.
Yeah.
It's fucking dope. Nice.
Like within the first like 3 minutes of watching the movie, I'm like, oh man, I'm glad I didn't rent this. I'm glad I bought it. And I don't say that very often.
And the Netherrealm too is like the way they, the whole buildup of like of Scorpion, it's fucking awesome. They do such a good job with the animation and all that. And really you're seeing it from that side. Like, I'm not too familiar with the bunch because I'm not really the biggest animated fan for like a lot of stuff. It's got to be certain animated stuff, and normally like you were watching it and I'm just like, I'm kind of pop my head in here, and it fucking had me hooked like that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, oh, I'm here. Shit, I'm here. Nice. For this.
I gotta check it out. Sounds awesome.
Yeah. Still available on VOD. I don't think anybody's picked it up for free.
I don't think so either
quite yet. But
okay.
It's definitely worth the rental fee.
Do a lot of those go to like streaming services?
Mm-hmm.
Do they?
Yeah. And before it, before there was like VOD, the Batman ones would get released directly online.
Yeah.
And those would be like the only places you could find it.
Because a lot of them, I mean, once the DC app was around, like they would put them all there. But I guess they were on Netflix too. But I guess when, like, everything is a fucking app now. So then you're like, oh, they don't come out. And it's like, oh, they're on the Googly Eye app.
Yeah. Speaking of, download our Barroom Movies app. Yeah. And iTunes.
Don't do that, because if there is one, that's not us.
Just download Tubi.
Download Tubi and say tell them that we sent you.
Tubi, give me your money.
TV plug.
All right, number three, we've got The Platform. It's a Spanish movie, so if you don't like to read, you will not like it. It is 100% in subtitles.
It's really good though.
But it is really good. It was actually nominated for a Goya Award for Best New Director and a Goya Award for Best Original Screenplay.
I did not know that. I thought that director had been around for a while.
Apparently not. But it's a pretty interesting concept. It's basically like a multi-level prison is the environment. And people are trying to like work their way up the levels, because at the bottom you basically get no water or food or light or anything. And you're basically guaranteed that you're going to die if you're at the bottom level. And at the very top, like, nobody really knows what happens up there, but they know that it gets better the further you go up. And that's all I'm going to tell you. Cool. But it's, I think it originally came out on Netflix.
It did.
And that's where I first saw it. And it was really good.
Well, at least it originally came out on Netflix in America. I'm sure it got like a push over.
Yeah, it was initially released in Taiwan, I think.
Yeah, that sounds right. And I mean, it is, it's not that long either, I don't think.
It's about an hour and a half.
It's like, and
it moves.
Yeah, it moves really well. And it doesn't drag. And like, the other thing too is it doesn't really get too convoluted either, where it's just like, even, because sometimes with a movie that's like an hour and a half, they're just like, what the fuck is happening? It's just like, no, they're pretty good with the storyline and what they're trying to do. So,
yeah, it's almost, it's kind of like a Snowpiercer concept, if you've watched that show or seen that movie.
I love Snowpiercer, yeah.
Yeah, and it plays on like a lot of the same elements, and yeah, definitely worth a watch.
What's that called again?
The Platform.
The Platform.
Okay. You would love it. You should check it out.
Yeah.
Yeah. See, I stuck in quarantine. I had all this time to watch all this shit, and I still miss a bunch of stuff.
I know.
Don't worry. We're here for you.
Thank you.
Number two, one I'm pretty sure we've all seen, Palm Springs.
Good flick.
Yep.
Yeah.
Came out on Hulu. I think it was probably like one of my favorite comedies of 2020. It's a pretty interesting concept. Got Andy Samberg, who I always love. And it's kind of the Groundhog's Day concept, where they have to keep reliving the same day over and over. But they put some new interesting twists on it and do it in a way that doesn't make it feel like it's copied off of Groundhog's Day at all, I don't think.
Yeah, it was like a nice surprise, too. I think it just popped up out of nowhere and fun watch.
Christina Milioti, I can't pronounce her last name, the girl that's in there, she's really good in Black Mirror, than the episode that she was in with that, and then also she's in How I Met Your Mother for like 5 seconds, but everything that she's in, like, I've actually really liked. And Palm Springs actually broke the Hulu record for most views in an opening weekend.
Wow.
Yeah, I would never have guessed that with that movie. But yeah, it like fucking like just dominated.
Good for them. And at number one, another movie that I'm pretty sure we've all seen, The Sound of Metal.
Oh, son of a bitch.
That was such a good movie.
Wow.
And yeah, it had so much hype going into it, because Matt and Dusty both saw it before I did. And of course, they hyped it up pretty good to me, and then like everything online was hyping it up even more, and it actually lived up to it. It did not disappoint at all. I felt like it hit on every single thing that it tried to do, and then some on top of it.
I think my immediate reaction was, is I saw it, like, because I actually had been waiting for this movie. I was waiting for the day to come out. Like, I wanted to watch it opening day, and I watched it opening day. And I think you were downstairs, and I was like, I was pretty sure I knew it, and I immediately went downstairs and was like, you have to watch The Sound of Metal. You will absolutely fucking love it. It is a great movie.
Yep. Dusty pretty much did the exact same thing.
The emotion throughout the whole story and everything is great. Like, I love like the idea of like him getting help for like learning how to be deaf rather than actually like getting a cure or anything like that. I like that concept.
It was, for those of you that haven't seen it, the concept is basically that there's a drummer and that's basically all he's been his entire life, and he's kind of slowly starting to lose his hearing, and then it really starts to go at the end. And
he's like a recovering like drug addict too, and he's about to go off the bench because he doesn't have anything left, you know.
Right, like drumming was his crutch, and now that's been pulled out from underneath him, and he's got to learn how to like try and survive and cope and figure out what he's going to do for a job. And he's already like what, in his late 20s, early 30s,
I think. Yeah, that sounds right.
Yeah, so it's not like he's like young and still trying to figure out his life. Like, he's already like decided this what his life's going to be, and it's already like been flipped on its head. And really, really good movie.
Also, the band shirts are dope, and hoodies that he was wearing in there. I should have wrote them down, but
and there's some good music in there too.
There's some great music in there. I'm going to talk about Sound of Metal a little bit later too. So
what? Okay. Wow, way to just copy me. That's what you get for letting me go first.
Riz Ahmed is that actor. He's really good.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He's in a bunch of other stuff like Nightcrawler. He was awesome in that. And
That's what
he was the camera guy.
Yeah. Okay. That makes sense. I knew he looked familiar from somewhere.
There's like a TV show on HBO I watched with him. I can't think of what it's called, but he was really good in that. It was like he was getting accused of a murder.
Oh, the night. Oh, he was that guy.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. What is that? That is such a good show. The night.
The night of? Oh, the night of.
The night of. Yep. Yeah, that was a great show. Really Holy good. Shit. I didn't even. Yeah.
Yep.
I'm actually be talking about him later, too. So.
Yeah. Well, he's in Rogue One, too. He's a Star Wars. Yeah.
And also in I was going to say the Baby Yoda series, but it's actually the Mandalorian.
His name is Grogu.
Grogu.
He has a name.
Anyway, I'll go next.
That's a good list.
That's a very good list, Brady.
Thanks.
So my top five, I kind of screwed this up because then I kept remembering movies.
I had to rewrite mine about four or five times.
I didn't edit it for the actual top five, but here it is. The King of Staten Island is directed by Judd Apatow, starring Pete Davidson, Bill Burr, and Marissa Tomei. Scott, who is Pete Davidson, is a case of arrested development. His dad died in a firefighter, and he's just kind of mooching off his mom and all that. And he wants to be a tattoo artist. Well, Marissa Tomei is his mom, and Bill Burr moves into this house and starts dating Marissa Tomei after Pete Davidson tries to give his kid a tattoo. It's fucking great.
Is it? Yeah, I haven't watched it yet. I just seen they edited on HBO, so I've been wanting to watch it, but I've been waiting for Keelan and I to get together and watch it at some point.
It's a Judd Apatow flick, and it is definitely a Judd Apatow flick.
Is it really long?
Yep. that's why it's probably at five for me, because it could probably be about 10 to 15 minutes shorter.
Yeah.
But Steve Buscemi's in there. He's great. Like, the sincerity of what's going on is so real, because this is basically Pete Davidson's life. The fact that his dad actually died in 9/11 in the towers, and how that affected him. And one of the things that I learned was that Kid Cudi is very like prevalent in the movie, and that's actually the last song that they play. And Kid Cudi was the music that he would listen to, because Pete Davidson's suicidal, that he would listen to like help him get himself out and all that stuff. And I was like, oh, that's fucking cool. And actually, his grandpa played the role of his grandpa in this movie. I thought that was pretty interesting.
I have mad respect for Pete Davidson, because when he got up during a roast, I think it was of James Franco, he was talking about how his dad had died during 9/11. And then immediately afterwards, he was making fun of Snoop Dogg and said that Airplane was the worst experience of his life involving an airplane. I was just like, oh my God, he made a 9/11 joke. It killed. Only he could do that. There's only one guy.
Number four, Defy Bloods, was directed by Spike Lee, Delroy Lindo, Jonathan Majors, Clark Peterson, Norm Lewis, and Isaiah Whitcock. It's about four African-American Vietnam vets who go back to bring back their fallen soldier. But is that the only reason why they're going? It's not. It's a really good movie. It's very different. There's a lot of flashbacks to Vietnam. Mm-hmm. But what's cool, and I think this could throw people off, is like, is when they do the flashbacks to Vietnam, like they go to Vietnam, and they're going to pick up their fallen soldier, who was the leader of the group. Can't remember his actual title, but every time they were to remember it, they would remember it as like the age that they were. Mm-hmm. Like, so it was like 70-year-old like character like doing this, which I thought was really actually cool, because it's thinking about like, it's their memory. So it's like, you're not going to like your memory, it's not really going to make you that much younger. It's, you know, just how your process of it. It's very political, and it brings up like a lot of good points of Vietnam, of like, you know, just how African-Americans were basically fucked, and they represented 30% of the people over there, and they're only 12% of the people that were actually in America, and how they were getting drafted earlier. And there's a lot of references to Martin Luther King and Malcolm X, and actually one of the scenes is where the Vietnam are trying to get the African Americans to turn on the United States, and they have like a radio syndicate come out, and they announce that like Martin Luther King is dead, and they're like, why are you guys fighting for America? They're not fighting for you. They're, you know, all this stuff. Mm-hmm. Very, very relevant to like stuff that's going on now. They talk a lot about like Black Panthers.
Wow.
Different things like that. It's a great movie.
Cool.
Yeah,
I'll check it out for sure. I love Spike Lee. So
yeah, and this was actually the last movie that Chadwick Boseman filmed while he was alive. So I can't remember the other movie that he did for Netflix. That's actually on my list.
Oh, I watched it.
Yeah, they shot at the same time.
Okay.
But Five Bloods was like the last one that like wrapped. So okay. That was technically his last film.
Yeah.
He did.
Yeah, the other one's really good. He's really good in that other one.
I really want to watch it.
It's like Mama something. Yeah. It's super good.
What were you saying, Brady?
No, I was just saying that. Yeah, that was a good ass movie.
Yeah, it was really it's fucking brutal, man.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. It did not hold back in some of the spots. There's a lot of really good dialogue in there, and it's got the main character from Lovecraft Country, and there is one of the guys.
Okay,
and cool. He's a great fucking actor.
Yeah, he is.
He is really fucking good. I don't know why I'm saying that surprised, but I just that's a dude who that's kind of come out of nowhere for me this year or whatever.
Right? You sound like Deion Sanders when he sees a white guy run past the combine. Yeah, I do agree though. I feel like people might get a bit lost in some of the flashbacks.
Yeah.
Because they don't do quite as good of a job as Velocipaster did in identifying like where they're actually at. You know, like we're in China. They hold signs says China.
Yep.
They're not quite as forward thinking as Velocipaster.
That's what we're doing. That's what we're going with. Number three, The Devil All the Time. Directed by Antonio Campros. So this movie has like a fucking million different stars in this. It's got Bill Skarsgård, Tom Holland, Robert Pattinson, Alyssa Scanton. It's got like there's a lot of people in here that like you've seen in different movies and different things like that, like TV shows, plays. Just a great cast and an just like amazing story. So it's about basically how just everything's fucked. It's kind of starts off in it's right after World War II. One of the this kid, Bill Skarsgård, comes back. He's come back and gets married, all this stuff. It's very religious based and like in the South and how everything was like down there and how basically preachers were superstars and stuff. And so basically sinister characters converge around a young man's devoted protecting of his loved ones. So like his sister, his grandma, his like uncle, I think it is. And basically just everything goes awry, and anything that could go wrong basically goes wrong. There's an element of Bonnie and Clyde in there with robbers. There's an element of serial killers in there.
That's kind of why I liked it. It's super good. Yeah.
Yeah.
And Robert Pattinson's fucking great.
He's awesome.
It's creepy, but he's great.
So basically what he did for that movie to develop that character, he watched pastors at that time to really figure out like, oh, what, how am I going to act and what am I going to do about this? and he takes advantage of a younger girl because that's what he did. He had to,
yeah,
he
it's fucked up
for sure. Yeah, it's really fucked up.
Really fucked up.
It's a great fucking movie though, and yeah, this movie this movie might end up being a movie that we do on Barroom because critics are fucking stupid and they keep getting it lower. It's at like 62%, so we just need 3 more percent.
You can do it, guys.
Definitely be down to that. That's a great movie.
That was three. So number two is Soul. I actually just watched this movie not that long ago. It's directed by Pete Docter.
That one almost went on my list.
Jamie Foxx, Tina Fey, and Graham Norton. I fucking love this movie. I've watched this movie 3 times already, and it came out on fucking like Christmas. Around Christmas. Yeah.
Yep. Christmas Day it came out. That's what Keelan and I did at Christmas. We watched that movie.
Dude, Pixar, stop making me cry. I'm a grown man.
Yeah. It's not like a kid's. I don't think like little kids will be like for this movie because it's like it's to be dealing with some dark subject. But like there's some funny stuff in it, like when he gets turned into a cat and stuff, but. Yeah.
I think it's kind of perfect. I think what Pixar is doing is actually really smart. It's introducing death in like a different way in like the beginning of life.
I'm not saying it definitely. I think kids should watch it, but I don't think like they would.
Yeah, they're totally not going to get.
I don't think they'd be entertained by this. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I think like
I hope I'm wrong.
I think kids would like actually love this movie because Tina Fey is actually really awesome in there. Is 22. Oh. She's super funny and just like there's a lot of the Disney Pixar element to it and like mm-hmm. such a thing where it's like the dude dies on accident, like he finally like read this real quick. So a musician has lost passion for music but ends up landing his dream gig only to die and try to get back to his body. So he is a teacher who just feels like he's not reached his purpose in life, and his purpose is to playing live, and he finally gets that chance. And it's taken away from him. He dies. He dies carelessly, you know. And it's about the movie is about him trying to get back and realizing like what his life is not like. It's him not living in the moment. And Tina Fey, who plays 22, which basically what happens is what they're saying is souls are created kind of like in this realm where they teach them, like give them all like, you know, the personality traits. And then after they've completed this and got, what's it, a star or something like that? No, it's Earth, the Earth sticker. They can go down to Earth, and mm-hmm. she just doesn't want to do it. And I don't know. I think it's a really good lesson on being afraid, and like I think kids can adapt to that, and it's very definitely. Instrumental about that. Then you got all the cute cat shit. You have really good music.
The animation is really
fucking good.
Oh, it's on point.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I absolutely love that
movie. I highly recommend Soul too. Yeah,
yeah, and
if you have Disney Plus, get it. Like, watch that for sure. If
free to watch.
If you don't have Disney Plus and you want to watch Soul, get Disney Plus to watch Soul.
Yeah,
This
is a movie where I absolutely agree. Like, you can either rent it or you can pay $5.99 and get like the fucking Disney Plus package and watch that for a month.
Yeah,
I would do that.
Yep.
Now. My last one is very similar to Brady. It is
copying
Sound of Metal.
Oh, is it because you guys live together?
No, I like this. Seriously, I watch Sound of Metal. Like I watched Soul 3 times. I've watched Sound of Metal like 4. It's just like, especially playing shows like they played, and you know, and even dealing with like own like ear problems that I have, where I have like, I don't know if I have 10 or what's it, what, like, because I hear ringing all the time and all that stuff. Yeah, and
just, I do too.
That is a fear of mine. And just to have that put out there, and not to mention like their whole thing going into his drug addiction and into his just addiction of like, you know, coping and coping mechanisms. One of the big things about that movie too is when you're an addict, they're like, after the first year, they're like, and during the first year, you should not be in a relationship because you're going to become too codependent on it. And then you see that, like, the interpreter, once he goes to the place to, like, live to learn how to become deaf, to live how to, you know, deal with all this, he's like, how long have you guys been together? And he's like, 4 years. And he's like, well, how long have you been clean? 4 years. So it's like, that was a coping mechanism. And on top of it, dude, just like, there's so many layers to this. And
yeah,
and Riz Ahmed, he just fucking crushed it and did such a great job. He actually learned ASL, which is sign language, American Sign Language, for the film. Cool. Like, that's so fucking cool, because it's such like, and the way they shot it too, where they actually had parts where like you were hearing what he could hear. And a lot of time what they talked about, and I actually looked up, like, this is why this is my favorite, is because this made me go into a dive of like learning about like people that are hearing impaired. And they're like, yeah, like, you know, a lot of people, that's what it is. It's just, you know, it's super muffled. You can hear like something small, but like, you know, it's such a different way of shooting it. And I've never seen anyone give as much props to the, you know, to the deaf community. And really, like you said before, where they're like, this is not a disease to be cured. This is your life. This is how you live. That's amazing. That's a great message. And
it is.
Fucking killed it.
For sure. And that guy that was like helping him out, that owns that facility, he was really good in it too.
Paul Rachi.
Yeah. He was really good.
He's been in a couple things, but he's always got bit roles. Like, I haven't seen him like actually be like a co-lead. I guess he's more of a supporting role. Like, he's always, I've only ever seen him like come in there and have very limited screen time, but he's really fucking good.
Yeah.
Kirk.
Nice list.
Thank you. Solid.
None of my movies are on the new guys pick. So, okay. I'll start off. Number five, I picked Hamilton. Disney Plus. That's another reason to get Disney Plus right there. Hamilton, that musical, so awesome. I was like, I wanted to go see that live. I never got the chance because it was always like sold out, the Broadway tickets, and actually see that movie. The movie is actually the Broadway play too. It's actually them performing it live, and it's fucking great. It's so good. The music's good, like the acting, and it's a funny like thing. Then like I like that there's like different cultures in there portraying like our founding fathers and everything like that. It's really cool.
And you get to see, I can't remember what the guy's name is, but
Lin-Manuel Miranda.
Yes. He is actually the one doing it. And I mean, I've heard the guy that replaced him is really fucking good too, but like Lin is the reason why everyone's just like, gotta go see this, you know?
Yeah. Cause he like wrote and everything. He wrote it. And my number four pick is I'm Thinking of Ending Things.
Great movie.
That's a movie that came on Netflix, and it just came out of nowhere, and it's a great, great, great weird movie. Like, Toni Collette's in there. Every actor in there is, like, fucking great. I can't tell you anything without giving anything away.
Yeah.
and you when you watch it, you're just like, what the fuck did I just watch?
you got to watch it a couple times to, like, catch all the little indie windows and all that.
And I heard you can, like, watch it backwards or something like that, too, or the book, I think. The book, you reread the chapters backwards, and
So I read the book, and I actually like how they end it in the movie better.
Okay,
so I really like the book. I actually read the book in one day.
I need to check out that book.
That's really good.
I really like the movie. My number three pick is another musical. I don't know why. 2020, I just wanted to hear some good music, you know, so David Byrne's American Utopia. It's on HBO right now. It's fucking great. I'm a huge Talking Heads fan, so, and they got all the Talking Heads songs and all the David Byrne songs, and he's performing music like live. There's like, I can't remember how many people there are, but they're all walking around, and they're all like, there's like drummer, keyboarder, and they're all like got their instruments hooked up to them, and they're like walking around like barefoot and like dancing and stuff. It's fucking great. Like, the choreography and everything is on point. And you get to hear some really cool Talking Heads songs. So
yeah, actually I heard of that, but I didn't realize that was out. I thought that was coming out like 2021.
Mm-hmm. So good. And Spike Lee directed that too. So there's a Spike Lee thing.
Really?
Nice. Yep. Oh, it's what am I at? Number two, The Last Dance. I'm picking that as a movie because it's fucking great. The Michael Jordan documentary.
I'll allow it.
I'll allow it as well.
The coolest fucking thing. I think I've seen it like three times already.
Same. It's so on good. Netflix. It's on Netflix now.
Yeah. It's on Netflix because as soon as it's on Netflix, I'm like, I gotta watch this again.
Yep.
So good. Here, just hearing Michael Jordan just say, "Motherfucker, I ate the pizza and I got I ate the whole pizza and I got sick." Oh, just those stories alone. Just could see like the inside, like the cameras and stuff that nobody else saw. And
Isaiah said, "What?"
Isaiah said, "What? Ah, no, I'm not watching that. No, that's bullshit. No."
The greatest like documentary. I think that's going to be a move that documentarians do from now on, where they hand them the video to watch and get like an in-person reaction of like that. Because Michael Jordan, they're cheating. Yeah, Thomas is talking shit. Is so fucking great.
Yeah,
it's amazing.
Yeah, getting those like live reactions to the shit that other people have been talking in their interviews is great.
So Brady, you read Jordan Rules?
Mm-hmm.
Was it, like I've read it too, but it's been a while since I've read it. It's pretty similar. Like they talk about a lot of the stuff in the Jordan, and they actually bring up the Jordan Rules in there. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yeah, the Jordan Rules, it's a book written by Sam Smith.
Yep.
And
the singer?
Yeah. Yes. Very early in his career.
Did you know Sam Smith was an old white dude with a white mustache and white hair?
I knew the different personalities, you know. Yeah. Complete polar opposites.
That's right.
But yeah, the book kind of takes you through that season. Pretty in-depthly, like on a game-per-game basis at times. But the documentary delves more into like the interpersonal stories more so than what the Jordan Rules does. The Jordan Rules kind of centers more around like Phil Jackson's point of view. Mm. Whereas this is more centered around like all Jordan's point of view. Which is what we all want. Yeah.
That's exactly what we want.
It's a lot of Jordan, but there's like a lot of like other things like mm-hmm. Dennis Rodman and, you know,
Isaiah and Scotty.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Scotty and yep.
Of course.
Yep. Just like the 90 Bulls. Like that was like me. That was my childhood. I just remember like just obsessed with them. And
yeah, absolutely.
Back, like, oh, it was so amazing. I got out my like starting lineup figures and I was like, yeah.
Yeah.
I shouldn't open them and they'd be worth more if I didn't open them. Shit.
Right. It's like, oh my God. To the kids that had the restraint to like not open those, first off, fuck you. second off, good for you because you're getting a lot of fucking money.
Yeah, I'm looking at mine. They're just sitting up by my TV. So and I can look at them, I can touch them. So it's fine.
Right.
Yeah, but I mean, I could work and make more money. I can't go back in time and have fond childhood memories of playing with those toys.
True.
Exactly.
I definitely had a whole fucking like a whole setup for
I remember when I bought those, like I think it was with my cousin. She's like a huge basketball fan, like huge Michael Jordan fan. And as soon as like I got them, I ripped them open. She's like looking at me like, "What are you doing?"
I'm fucking playing. That's what I'm doing.
Yep.
Yeah.
I want to see him. I want to touch him.
Yeah, definitely check that out. Yeah, everything I have on here is like on something, except for my number one pick. It's like on free platforms, like if you have that service. My number one is Veronica. I'm just kidding. Just kidding.
You and Stevie both. Yeah,
you know, Stevie, man. Did you and Stevie come up with this list? Because
you guys have like identical top fives.
Veronica's great. Just check it. That's on Shudder. You can watch that.
It's also on its Veronica.
It's also on its Stevie's house, pretty much on loop.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Just go there at any time.
My number one pick is the movie Possessor.
Oh yes. Yeah.
It's a movie is directed by Brandon Cronenberg. It's David Cronenberg's son. I mean, I think that's all you really need to say about the movie because it's very Cronenbergish.
It's fun. It's
Possessor follows an agent who works for a secret organization that utilizes brain implant technology to inhabit the other people's bodies. So like, it's very like a possession movie, and like she like possesses this person's body, and then like it's so weird. It's so out there and weird. It's great. And you get to see Sean Bean like die really, really gruesome death.
He said that he would never die in a movie again. He's only going to take roles that he doesn't die in.
I guess when Brandon Cronenberg says you're going to die, he's like,
"You're going to die."
He played an asshole. It was like well deserved death.
He'll probably just get put into never ending comas from now on.
Yeah. The main girl, the main agent, is I can't think of her name. She was Mandy and from Mandy, but like she's been getting, she's been in like a lot of stuff now, and she's great in this movie. And yeah, that's my list.
All right, let's do some backup, some ones that deserve to be talked about but aren't necessarily in our top five.
Yeah,
let's do one each. We'll keep going around for a little bit. Kirk, you want to go first since you were just up?
His House. That's a movie on Netflix. It's a horror movie. It's great. It's like possession. It's like a ghost story.
Nice.
Like these. It's this African family. They like flee their place because they're like in, they're gonna die, you know. So they have to leave, and they move to this. It's in Britain, and they move in this house, and the house is like possessed.
Yeah.
And it's very cool. It's very like voodoo-ish. It's very cool.
My first one is going to be Freaky, directed by Christopher Landon.
Oh, shit, I want to watch that.
With Vince Vaughn, Catherine Newton, Chelsea O'Connor, and Misha Schaffarka. It's fucking great. It is a fun fucking movie. It's a Blumhouse movie. Blumhouse knows how to do fun slasher movies to the T. Vince Vaughn is great, and...
I love like Happy Death Day and Happy Death Day to You. So
if you like that, you're gonna like this movie.
Great.
And then Catherine Newton, who plays the lead girl in this, she is fun. She does a really good job of like the neurotic portion when she's herself, and then when Vince Vaughn, the serial killer, takes over, she does a great job of just playing a psychopath. There's some brutal death scenes in there too. So it's a great flick. It's only an hour and a half. It just came out. It's definitely worth a watch. It's really great. It's a great movie.
Mine would be Trial of the Chicago 7.
Yes.
Oh, that was good.
It's a good movie. It's out on Netflix. It's about the 1969 trial of the 7 defendants charged by the federal government with conspiracy arising from the counterculture protests in Chicago at the 1968 DNC. The trial transfixed the nation and sparked a conversation about mayhem intended to undermine the U.S. government. It's still sitting at 90% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Aaron Sorkin directed it.
Mm-hmm. It's got Joseph
Gordon-Levitt in it. It's got Sacha Baron Cohen and Eddie Redmayne. So got a lot of familiar actors in there. They all do a really good job of telling that story.
It came out like at the perfect time too. Like everything that's
going on. It did. And Sorkinson said, he's just like, you know, it just, you know, time basically just repeated itself and like with everything that's going on. And
I know
it is a brutal movie, and just seeing how negligent the justice system was back then and just what they had to go through and how basically fucked they were in the entirety of their case because they had an incompetent judge. Yeah, it's a great movie. It's definitely worth a watch. And yeah, it's on the Netflix. Oh, other cool thing I learned about it too is actually, so this was supposed to get made a lot sooner. Spielberg was supposed to direct it, and actually Heath Ledger was going to be the lead, but then he died, and then it got put on the back burner until now, which I think they would did a lot better job doing it now than they would have when Heath Ledger was, because it wasn't a lot of, I think they would have made it a lot different, you know.
We still spitballing?
Yeah.
Cool. VFW. It's on Shudder. It's a group of old war veterans put their lives in the line, defend a young woman taking shelter in their local VFW post who runs into deranged drug dealers.
Nice.
But punks. It's got Stephen Lang, William Sadler, Fred Williamson. It's got like all those old guys like in there. They're fucking great.
Sounds very Hobo with a Shotgun-y.
It is.
Yeah.
It does, so, like, they're stuck in this VFW, and, like, they want their drugs, and it's great.
Nice. I'm going to go with Relic, directed by Natalie Eric James. This has Robin Niven, Emily, all these names, Emily Mutmier, and Bella Heathcote. It is a fucking weird movie. The daughter is called back to kind of take care of her mom, who lives in an old house, who is what they think getting amnesia, and kind of losing her mind and attacking people and causing all these fits. It is super dark. It's super quiet. It's a super, it's like a really fun movie. Actually, Brady, I came down and Brady was watching it, and then I watched it with him, and then like a couple nights later I rewatched it. I was like, oh my God, this movie is like fucking great, you know. There's a lot to it, and it's like a really good kind of like haunted house, like pay attention. Well, it's not necessarily a haunted house, but it's a good movie where there's a lot of like, what the fuck is going on right now? Like in a good way.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Brady.
Another honorable mention for me is the Guy Ritchie flick, The Gentleman.
Really?
Yeah, I liked it.
Yeah.
I know a lot of people didn't, but still 75% on Rotten Tomatoes. It's about Mickey Pearson, who's an American expatriate who moves to London, becomes rich selling weed, but then wants to cash out, and craziness ensues.
What?
It's a pretty classic Guy Ritchie flick, and that's what I like about it.
Let's do one more round of...
Oh, I got so many. shit. I'm going to Queen's Gambit on Netflix. Okay.
Good
it's
show.
Like a limited series. Yeah, it's super good. It's like it's a chess one, but yeah, that actress is really good in it. She like kind of playing like an orphan, and she gets adopted, and she gets like gets paid to play chess, and then she's dealing with alcohol issues, and she's like basically an alcoholic, you know.
Yeah,
kind of dealing with that. And it's
no, it is a really good series.
It's great.
Yeah, Keelan and I binged it like one day.
Yeah,
I'm a sucker for anything like any good chess story. I don't know why. Like the Bobby Fischer one.
Yeah,
I've watched that so many times.
I love that actress too. Everything she's in, like I would watch it because she's like awesome in The Witch, yep. Split. Yep. She's like in a bunch of shit. And, like every time she's in something now, I'm like I gotta watch it.
So her fucking eyes, man. She
yeah,
like,
she's got
yeah,
intense eyes.
Yeah,
she's got that. Look at my eyes.
I'm gonna go with The Way Back. That was directed by Gavin O'Connor,
Boo.
Ben Affleck.
Boo!
oh, one of yours is gonna be on my list. yeah, I think it's a really good. I think Ben Affleck. It's a pretty good. It's a pretty good basketball tale. It's another movie where it's a dude. It's like a guy dealing with addiction and stuff like that. And actually, that's kind of a popular thing on my list right now. So that's kind of, I guess, that's just the movies that were coming out last year.
Can you tell some about that?
but Ben Affleck dealing with his drug with the alcohol problem, and then also, so his kid dies of leukemia, and him dealing with that. It's a pretty. Gavin O'Connor is the guy who directed Warrior.
So okay.
That kind of tells you like where it's going to be like a little bit darker type thing and shit like that. So he actually quit Suicide Squad to finish this movie. And they're like, yeah, you're not coming back. We're going to pick up James Gunn instead. He's like, okay, that's fine. Brady.
I think we all lost on that. Oh, well, since Kirk's out here picking limited series, I'm going to do the same thing and throw out The Good Lord Bird. That is one of my favorite shows that I've like watched in like the last 5 years, probably. That is so good. It's a Showtime original, starring Ethan Hawke. He plays Osawatomie John Brown, the crazy ass abolitionist. I can't believe that I've never seen a movie or a television show tell this story before, because I can like remember thinking back, you know, to like junior high, elementary, high school days when they would tell that story about some of the shit that John Brown got into, like at Harper's Ferry and stuff like that. And you're like, man, that's a cool ass story. But I had like really completely forgotten about it till I watched that show, and credit due to Dusty for letting me know that it was even out there. Cause as soon as I turned it on, it had me hooked. Each episode is only like, I want to say it's like an hour long on average. And I think there's like 7 episodes. Mm-hmm. I think I burned through it in like 2 days.
Cool. Oh, I've been wanting to watch that. I haven't heard anybody talk about it. So I'm glad. That's next in line after I get done watching that Paul Scheer show. It's on Showtime. I'm watching that.
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. Yeah, the John Brown story. There's a podcast, Behind the Bastards, that they go into like, so Behind the Bastards normally does just like people that fucking suck. But then they did John Brown, who has a little muddled past with some of the like, it wasn't him and the abolitionists. Some of their views was just like, yeah, we just don't want black people around them, but we don't think they should be slaved too. So take it for what it is. They fought for him. But it, like, he's fucking crazy, man. John mm-hmm. Brown and the stuff that he fucking did. Fucking yeah. I that's actually one I've only watched the first episode, and I'm like, yeah, I gotta finish that out. That's on my list or whatever. So let's do disappointments.
Womp, womp, womp. See, Bobo's previous pick.
My first pick for disappointment is The Gentleman. I fell asleep three fucking times during that movie. I could just, I don't know. I think I'm done with Guy Ritchie, honestly. Like, I can watch his old stuff, but it's like, mm-hmm. you're not bringing anything new to the table. Like,
the same old shit.
Yeah, you got yeah. these awesome newer actors like involved, and it's just kind of like, eh. I mean, I think what really killed it for me was when he did what was King Arthur.
Mm-hmm.
And there's just like, okay, I know your playbook, and
yeah,
it would just do something new. So Gentleman is a disappointment for me. Brady.
The Way Back.
I had shots at
heard good things about it from somebody.
Who was that?
Who had watched it. You know, me being a sports fan.
Who was not that?
Not necessarily a Batfleck fan. Decided to give it a shot because it is a longer movie on the advice of somebody that had watched it before.
Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Highly touted it.
To all their own.
And they lied to me. That sucked. I
looked me in the face, and he lied to me.
Looked me dead into the windows of my soul. Made me waste over 2 hours of my life.
It was 2 hours and 1 minute.
That's 2 hours too much.
And that's with the credits. Okay, sir.
2 hours too much. No, I didn't like it. I was disappointed. It just kind of felt like a rewatch script to me. And Ben Affleck was not terribly convincing in his role, in my opinion.
Kirk.
Top of my head, like, disappointment, The Hunters on Amazon.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought that was going to be more badass. Jordan Peele was involved. It was very Quentin Tarantino-esque, and it just, like, I think it was trying to be too much that. I couldn't finish it.
I think he was loosely involved. I think he might have, like, bought them coffee one day.
I had real high hopes for that.
They had a meeting. It's just a cool concept, too. It's awesome concept. It's like...
They comic book like slash...
Just watching Glorious Bastards.
Yeah.
Yep. Much more satisfying.
My number two pick is actually kind of the same reason why I didn't like The Gentleman was Tenet. Huge disappointment for me.
I wanted to include that on my list of favorite movies this year, actually.
Yeah.
I actually love Tenet. Tenet is amazing. My disappointment is I didn't get to see it in the theater. That was my disappointment.
I fall somewhere in between the two of you. Like, yeah. I can see, like, the good and the bad in it.
I don't see too much good other than, like, I can, once you get to the 45-minute mark, it's like, okay, we can, it stops change. Like, it changed, me and Brady talked about this. It's like, it changes its own rules, like, in the movie. Like, not in the way where they're trying to break the rules and be like, oh, we're going to go against it. It's just like, oh, we said it this way. No, we're not. That doesn't count. Ignore us. It takes too long to get going. Robert Pattinson's good. Washington's mm-hmm. good. But you can figure out the plot within the first, like, 15, 20 minutes. It's a wannabe James Bond mixed with, like, it's James Bond meets Christopher Nolan and Christopher Nolan long shots. And most of the time, just get to the fucking point.
I do like that towards the end, though, when he's like kind of fighting himself. I was like, oh!
Yeah.
Oh!
Right.
I liked it, so I loved it. I'd recommend it, so.
Yeah, for me, I have a lot of the same bugaboos with how they created their own world and then went against the rules that they created in their own world. But for me, the enjoyment really just came from all of the like cool ass action sequences. Like, if I watched it again, I would probably fast forward through like 95% of the dialogue and just get to like the cool action sequences.
And that sucks because
you don't need to watch that. Like, dialogue is like going to, sometimes you're just like, do I But why am I listening?
That's the thing that sucks, because Christopher Nolan normally has like a pretty good script, and like this one, and even once he's not Dunkirk. Dunkirk is a great use of not using dialogue, but making it mean so much.
It's a very simple story too.
Yeah, but it's, I mean, but like the way that he shoots it and stuff, like the limited amount and the intensity that you bring up with it, it's just like, yes, that's it. Like, that's perfect. And I felt like he was trying to do something like not necessarily similar, but he was striving for intensity that just wasn't there. And I'm kind of like, I'm ready for this to be done.
Yeah, I would have been okay with it being about 25 minutes shorter and leaving with one or two questions about how like shit actually worked.
Yeah.
Like, that's one of like my favorite things about, and I know this is like a stretch for a comparison, but that's one of my favorite things about The Matrix, is that they don't waste like a gazillion fucking hours like over explaining how their world works.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like at the beginning of Tenet too, I think they, the lab lady, like he was like asking how they did it, and she's like, if I get too involved, or you just don't think about it. And I think that was kind of a direct towards the audience, kind of like, yeah, just sit back and relax, enjoy the movie.
I mean, I was fine with them wanting to create like their own world that works differently, but then when they explain how it works and then they show you and they're two different things, it doesn't make any sense. I don't like that.
Yeah.
Like, don't tell me that in your reverse world, the friction works in reverse, but the guy can still drive a car. Friction works in reverse. No, you're not going to be able to drive a car.
That's what I'm saying. I mean, that's true. Fucking awesome visually, and it's like, it's dope as fuck to watch it visually, but then again, it's just kind of like, use something different. Like, use a made up word. You are in science fiction world right now. Like, make up something that's completely bullshit, and scientists be like, well, actually, and you'd be like, well, I don't fucking care what you have to say. I'm watching a movie in that aspect.
But I would say if you're gonna watch it, just kind of just shut your brain off and don't pay attention like to physics or anything, or like the actual everything going on. Just kind of sit back and enjoy the movie. So that's
the thing is too, is I actually get why people would like this movie. I would just super let down, because I really like how Christopher Nolan develops his worlds, and I hold him to a higher standard than, I don't know if that's necessarily fair, but I don't fucking care, because this is how I view Christopher Nolan movies. But I view him at how he sets stuff up, where it's kind of like, bro, it kind of looks like you either A, phoned it in, or B, like I've said on previous podcasts, and you needed other people to come in there and help you out and do reshoots, but you couldn't do it because of COVID.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that's another reason COVID kind of stopped everything. So,
right. Yeah. If I, like I told Matt, I was, after I got done watching it for the first time, like I probably will watch it again at some point in my life, assuming that, you know, I live longer than a few months. But if I wanted to watch a similar movie that was much better, I'd just watch Inception.
Yeah. Same.
Yeah.
My next disappointment is gonna be Wonder Woman.
Same.
I was very disappointed by that, and I really didn't even have that high hopes for what it was gonna be, despite all of the like blanket marketing campaigns that HBO and DC did.
Watch
for
the
that
movie.
Shit. Oh my god, everywhere you looked it was Wonder Woman this, Wonder Woman that, and yeah,
the first thing that pops up for my thing, and I'm like, I'm not gonna watch it. I think I might even watch it eventually, but I haven't gotten around to it yet. I was like,
it's not
on
the
Christmas
worst.
Day. I was like, I'm watching fucking Soul. That's
it's
what
not the worst superhero movie that I've ever seen, because Green Lantern is still a movie, but it's pretty fucking bad.
I wouldn't even. So I would.
We got to do Green Lantern sometime.
we definitely will. I would agree with you in some points. I don't know if it's necessarily completely at the bottom, because there are some really bad superhero movies, at least production-wise and some stuff like that. They had some cool fight scenes, but overall the story was pretty bad, pretty weak.
So just like, for me, like when I was like watching the trailers and stuff, it sounded like they looked like they were trying to make it too much like Thor Ragnarok kind of style. Is that kind of what they were trying to wean in, or no?
No, really. Not even that cool.
Yeah. I mean, it's like they're like, oh, we're trying to make Wonder Woman. And I think you should make Wonder Woman shouldn't necessarily be dark, but they're trying to make Wonder Woman too poppy. Kristen Wiig was actually probably the best part about that movie. But then when she went into full cheetah form, I'm just like, this CG is not good.
Yeah, what was that?
That was not good. Like, she was a cool badass. Like, when she was becoming a dick, I was just kind of like, okay, I get it. And Maxwell Lord, who's actually like, that's a pretty deep grab for like a Wonder Woman villain, with Pedro Pascal. I mean, especially with him doing everything that he's doing with the Mandalorian, you're kind of like, oh, this dude's gonna fucking crush it. And he was not good. And I think that's a lot to do with bad writing. Yet again, I think COVID fucked up shooting schedules, because I think they see this and be like, we need to kind of fix that, because that doesn't make any sense whatsoever.
Well, and that's part of the reason why I was so disappointed with it, was because I love like Gal Gadot as an actor and Kristen Wiig and Pedro Pascal. And somehow they made a bad movie out of it.
And Chris Pine. I really like Chris Pine. Not necessarily, I mean, even the Star Trek stuff, but he's the other movies that he does. He's
like, you've got that. You've got a billion dollars to work with.
He did. And that's also really fucking stupid how they bring him back. That's fucking stupid.
Hologram Coolio.
Basically, Wonder Woman drugs someone to be. Someone that somewhat looks like him.
She mind rapes somebody into being Chris Pine.
Yeah.
A whole. What? I'm watching this movie.
Yeah,
I'm watching it.
You had me at mind rape.
Holy shit.
Kirk.
I'm just going to point out the fact that, because we couldn't go to theaters, like a lot of movies this year, like I wanted to see, didn't get to come out. Like I wanted Dune, number one. Fucking want to see. Was so hyped for that this year.
Yep.
Never got to see that. The new Edgar Wright movie. Yep. That got pushed back. Everything kind of got pushed back. And
the new Candyman movie?
Candyman, yes.
Shout out Ben Martin.
Check
out our previous podcast with him.
Yeah.
Luckily, they didn't have to push the new Tremors. That still came out.
Time.
Sure. Well, I just got my 4K Tremors in the mail. It's got posters and shit. It's fucking great.
That's awesome.
I'm going to like frame those posters.
I will do one more rounder. I really want to talk about this. Mulan.
Still haven't seen it.
Still haven't seen it, yeah.
Pissed me off, because I really, like, I'm not one of those guys with the sequels that come out the redos where I'm like, I'm not expecting it to be the same.
Right.
But it doesn't have that aspect. Like, I'm also one of the people who think that I actually like the Aladdin movie. I thought the Lion King was dog shit, but I actually like the Aladdin movie.
Yeah, the Aladdin remake was decent.
But this was just such, there's no singing. Obviously, there's Mushu, which they said wasn't going to happen, so I wasn't expecting him to be in there.
Those are the two reasons I'm not going to watch it. No singing, no Mushu. Fuck you.
That's kind of why I was like intrigued by it, because it was something different. It was Mulan, but it was like something different, because like with like Aladdin and I saw the Beauty and the Beast one. It's like a shot-for-shot remake of it.
Yeah.
It's the same songs, and like maybe they'll add a couple more. But like, why do I have that when I could just watch the animated version, which is beautiful? It looks amazing. It's way better. And they like Mulan is like, great. It's something new. It's different. And I guess I haven't seen it yet though. So sounds like a cool idea.
You might like it, but I just think that it misses on a lot of things that made Mulan cool. Cause Mulan was up there, man. I love that. I love that. Like Lion King, Mulan, those are two movies.
Doesn't have that Disney charm. By Disney charm, I mean captive little kids in the basement.
Actually, I would say it has too much of that Disney charm, they try to do too much like it to make it more of like a cartoon thing, but then they also try to make it different styles of martial arts. It just doesn't work. It's just not cohesive, and it's just like, when is this movie going to be done?
Oof.
Jeez. Brady.
We only get one more?
Yeah.
Then
only? Just spout them all off.
I'll pick Bloodshot and Capone. I can't choose between just
I almost bought Capone. I was like, I heard how bad it was. I was like, shit.
I didn't even watch it. I love Tom Hardy. I won't even watch it.
I've watched Bloodshot twice just to confirm how bad it is.
Is that the Vin Diesel one?
Yeah.
I watched it.
We have to do that on our podcast.
I thought maybe it would be like one of those ones where I'm like, you know, I'm like disappointed and it sucks the first go round, but maybe the second time, like I'll like watch it. Going into it thinking like I'm watching a fucking trash movie and just enjoy it that way, couldn't do it. Still terrible.
I hated that movie so much.
Hey, maybe that movie was bad, but we got Vin Diesel's CD this year, too.
That's true. That's true. That new shit is hot.
A CD was much better than
Baya. That movie. I got that shit on vinyl.
And Capone, I was really excited for that. I thought that was going to be like Tom Hardy, kind of like, you know, getting back to some of his old acting chops.
Yeah. Oscar nod.
Yeah.
Possibility. But
and maybe. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Was that like a pile of steaming dog shit?
Yeah. I mean, it was supposed to be about like Capone and like in his later life. And I get that, you know, he was like going through some shit medically, but there are times. Syphilis. Yeah. I mean, among other things.
Yeah.
But like there are times where like you almost got to turn on the subtitles to be able to understand him. And the story just moves so, so slow. It's, if you're looking for a good movie to take a nap to, turn on Capone for sure.
Oh, shit.
Turn the lights down low, open up a nice bottle of brandy, turn on Capone, and I'll see you in 3 days.
Did you get another one?
No, I got like, I got some other good ones. Like, stuff.
Right, give us shows, one more good one.
Shows that I've watched. Devs. Devs was great.
Yep.
Great show.
So we're gonna end on a positive note for this round.
Yeah, what we do in the shadows. I mean, I think TV show like fucking rocked.
Yeah,
there was Schitt's Creek last season of that was fucking great. Good Place good. Last season of that. I fucking bawled my eyes out.
Absolutely.
Better Call Saul.
Yes.
It's fucking good. Ozark. Haunting of Bly Manor is pretty good. High Fidelity.
I was not a fan of The Haunting of Bly Manor.
I heard it's 50-50.
Yeah.
Hill House is, of course, way better, but one's like a classic ghost story, and I kind of liked it that way.
Yeah. All right, so let's pick out someone that this year we're just like, God damn.
Okay.
They just fucking, I am a fan, and basically how I was with Tom Hardy, where it's like anything that Tom Hardy comes out with, I'm going to watch, except for Capone, because I heard his dog shit.
Yeah. Terrible.
Kirk, you want to go first?
Sure. I mean, I'm just going to say David or Brandon Cronenberg. I didn't even know he made movies. And I'm like,
I didn't either until
I'm excited. He's got other movies that I've never seen. So I'm going to go back and watch some of that. And I can't wait to see what he's got.
Awesome.
Nice.
I'm going with Riz Ahmed. I know he was in stuff before, but like seeing him in The Sound of Metal made me go back and rewatch some of the stuff. And I'm definitely going to, the night of, I'm going to go rewatch that too. He is a fucking great actor. He's
great. Yeah.
He fucking crushes it. And I guess he's always just been kind of a guy that he just fits into roles. I'm like, oh, that guy's really good. And then never really think too much of it. And then once you see him in a starring role, you're just kind of like, fuck, like, let's go. Like, make another movie. do it now.
Yeah, I'm excited to see what he comes out in next.
Me too.
I think he should be I mean, I don't know how the Oscars are going to work this year, but if he's not nominated for Best Actor, that's fucking stupid.
Yeah, he probably won't be.
You hear that? You hear that, Academy?
You're fucking stupid.
We're not afraid of you.
Jabronis.
Fucking jabronis.
For me, it's not necessarily somebody new to 2020, but I feel like it's somebody that's making a comeback, or at least trying to. And that's Elijah Wood. He came out with Come to Daddy in 2020. And I feel like he's somebody that has kind of gotten forgotten about since he was in Wilfred in like, what, 2014 to 2016, 17, somewhere around there.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously The Lord of the Rings before that. But in between Lord of the Rings and now, his filmography is kind of sparse, but I thought he did a great job in Come to Daddy. That was another honorable mention on my list.
Come to Daddy's great. Yes.
Yeah.
Great.
That's
on Shudder.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. He's got him and Shudder are teaming up. He's got a podcast with Shudder where
I've started listening to that. Yeah.
It's
interviews like directors and stuff. Yeah.
It's pretty spaced out, but it's when he puts stuff up there, it's pretty good. And then Come to Daddy is good. He's Elijah Wood, man. Like him and Daniel Radcliffe, I think, are like in the realm too. Yeah. Because I just watched the other one that I didn't mention that I should have, Guns Akibo. I watched that. That movie is just fucking great. Like they do like niche movies, the movies that they really want to do because they're getting all that fucking royalties from like Lord of the Rings or Harry Potter or whatever.
Right, yeah.
They're just like, you can pay me where the fuck you want because I'm fucking making this off this.
Elijah Wood, he just produces like horror movies now. I think he produced Color Outer Space. I think
His company did, yeah.
But yeah, he's back, man. He is back. I agree with you. That's a good call.
Yeah, he's got, I was surprised when I was looking at his IMBD, he's actually got a shitload of producing and directing credits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Like, he gets to do that shit. So keep it up, Elijah.
Yeah.
I know you're listening. You're a big fan.
big fan of horror movies.
You keep those beautiful blue eyes on those horror movies.
Do something with Daniel Radcliffe.
Dude, that would be, yeah, seriously, that would be awesome. That, right? Would be fucking,
that'd be great.
They're both small.
Yeah.
Both British. Got small shoulders.
They
slow
both
down.
They're both in Wizard and Lord of the Rings movies or whatever that is.
Yeah. Genre. Both the movies that have
fantasy.
Magic.
Fantasy. Yeah. I just played D&D last night too, and I'm like, what? What's that word?
make another Green Street Hooligans with Elijah Wood and Daniel Radcliffe in there.
That'd be fucking dope. All right. Well,
is there anything you guys looking forward to next year?
Say that again.
All the Disney Marvel stuff that's coming out, I'm pretty psyched about that. They've pretty much stacked up their lineup with WandaVision and then the Loki show and like all the other shit they got coming out after that. And then the new Mandalorian coming out in Christmas time.
Is the Book of Boba Fett coming out this year?
I don't think so, but they do have some other stuff coming out. Should be a pretty darn good year for the Marvel/Disney stuff. The Mandalorian's got my hopes up now for the other shows. I really wasn't that psyched for WandaVision or Loki before the second season of Mando, but now that it's over, I'm like, all right, Disney. All right, Favreau. Let's see what you can do.
The Mandalorian's the best Star Wars thing to come out since Return of the Jedi. It's the coolest. I've never been more excited about Star Wars since.
It's amazing what they're doing.
Yep.
Definitely.
So actually I can throw this on my 2021 person that I'm basically going to be watching everything he does, cause I'm super fucking stoked for, is Owen fucking Wilson. Owen Wilson looks like some of the shit that he's dropping this year looks fucking dope. The Loki show, he plays basically a guy who captures Loki, and he just seems like a fucking like asshole in it.
Oh, wow.
And it looks wow. And then there's a movie called Bliss where it's him and Selma Hayek. And basically, it's kind of like The Matrix, and they're basically decide he has to figure out which world is real. And they give her this drug where it's like this fantasy world where everything is like great and all that. And him and Salma Hayek are together. Mm-hmm. And he goes back to the real world where he has his kid, but everything sucks, but he loves his kid. It looks fucking amazing. It looks intense. And yeah, I'm watching that. That comes out February 6th, I think. Yep, pretty sure February 6th. And that's a movie on Amazon that I'm watching the day it comes out. So fucking stoked. And Candyman.
Kirk.
Oh, yep, all that stuff. And I'm super excited because David Lynch is coming out with a TV show on Netflix.
Really?
Next year. It's called Unrecorded Night, and it's in pre-production now. There's like 13 episodes. So
that's
there's gonna be
David
13,
Lynch?
13 episodes of David Lynch shit new.
Nice.
I'm so excited.
Nice. Yeah, I didn't realize it was David Lynch who was directing all that stuff.
So. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
One other thing that I'm definitely looking forward to, if it actually happens... the director of Color Out of Space, Richard Stanley, said that Color Out of Space was actually the first of what's supposed to be an H.P. Lovecraft trilogy.
Oh, cool.
And Dunwich Horror is supposed to be next, which is, I think, part of like his Cthulhu series.
Oh, nice.
So I'm looking forward to that, especially if they keep Nick Cage in there.
Got to keep the Cage in there.
Oh, yeah. I'm all about the H.P. Cool. Lovecraft.
Yeah, that's amazing. Yeah,
I love all that stuff. It's so cool.
Yeah, they're like bringing all that back with like Lovecraft Country and everything like that. And cool, kind of cool. I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, The Boys season 2 was great. I'm going to throw that out there.
Yep. That was also great. Amazon Prime.
There were some good shows like that. My list was mostly TV shows, and I wrote down like a couple movies. Like, Sputnik. I like these shows.
I'm going to throw that out there as an honorable mention. That was also a great movie.
Which one?
Sputnik.
Oh.
It was, as you would assume, about a Russian astronaut going into space, but then kind of turns into a horror movie after that.
Yeah. There was, like, another space one that was on Amazon. It was, like, the movie looked like it was all shot in one shot, and it takes place in this old town, like, back in the 50s or something like that, and takes place in
Night Sky?
Night Sky. That was great.
You like that?
I loved it.
I did not.
I did not.
It took me.
If I had any hopes for it, it would have made my disappointment list.
Yeah, same. That was actually
it is very slow moving, but like
that was Netflix.
Netflix, yeah. But, oh, I thought it was Amazon.
Nope, Netflix. It took me, I fell asleep three times. I actually had to take breaks because I'm like, dude, this movie.
Oh. It's very slow. I agree with that, but I like them slow parts. Yeah. 2020.
2020. Now we are on to 2021. Let's do one more quick question and then we'll wrap it up. What was your favorite movie that we podcasted this year? Brady, go first.
Ooh.
I'm going to have to look through our list.
That's what I was going to do, too. That's why I made Brady first.
This is break time.
Going to have to look through mine as well.
Roadhouse. Roadhouse. On September 3rd. That was the day
that we did
Roadhouse.
Yeah, Roadhouse, great movie. That was fun. It's really fun. It's such a great 80s movie that is just fucking absurd and violent and
yeah,
great.
What was that stupid ass movie we watched with Mike?
Oh, Airheads?
Yeah. that was a fun ass podcast. Not because of the movie. That movie is stupid as shit, but
it's fun having Mike.
It's fun.
Mike's already like, I know what movie to do next. I'm like, we want to have you back, man. So
yeah,
it was fun doing American Virgin as well with Ben.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That was super fun.
And also thanks to Kyle from Adventure Us and our friends in the Action Action podcast with
we did Tremors this year. I'm picking Tremors.
Oh, Tremors, you son of a bitch. I was looking to see if that was this year.
Roadhouse and Tremors in 1 year. Man, we treat you guys so good.
And then we give you
why even listen to anybody else?
Then we give you Biodome.
Sorry about that.
Man, yeah, John from Action Action Podcast. We can do that. My favorite movie that we did and podcast that we did is Velocipaster. That was
there you go.
My absolute, because I wasn't sure if that was beginning of last year or this year. It's crazy how fast/slow this year is gone.
I'll allow it for next year.
It was just such a great movie. It's like now I found a franchise and a group. It's like Riz Ahmed, where anytime that group of people put out like a movie, like I'm gonna watch it and fucking love it.
Mm-hmm.
All right,
Stargate this year too with
Scott. Yeah,
Scott from Flavor States Podcast. Check that out.
And they just put up a new episode. I think it comes out. It might be already out when this comes out, but check out Flyover States. Check out Flyover. We had a great year. You know, we kind of got stifled with some of the stuff we're going to do due to COVID, but we made up for it. We really want to thank everybody for listening to us. Everything that you guys like for movies that you sent in. You know, Yaya for Rorschach. You know, just different things like that. You guys are great. We are going to be putting out stuff more frequently. Unfortunately, life stuff happened for the past couple weeks. So that's why we haven't put anything up, but we need to break anyway. We're back. We're back, baby.
Woo.
Can't get rid of us.
Brady, what do you got to plug?
Throw out a shout out to Generations, the brewery that you guys should all know by now, conveniently located at 1400 South Adams. They've got new stuff coming out all the time. You can stop in for carry out, or if it's nice outside, go and chill out on the patio. Dogs are always welcome. Also, go out to Mike Martin's spot across from the Lindo Theater. You already know it's Mort's. Open for carry out.
Ba-ba-ba-ba.
All week long. Get in there for those lunch specials and check them out on Facebook so that you can see what all their fancy lunch specials are. They're switching it up and they're always delicious.
They do have great food out there. Make sure you check out like all the bars around the area too that are doing food and stuff.
Yeah. And of course, listen to Flask Pickle and Black Hat Banner. I'm sure they can't wait to get out there next year and start jamming for y'all in person.
True that.
But while you can't, support them online, buy their merch, buy their CDs. This gum tastes like rubber, but it's still delicious.
Kirk, what do you got?
Yeah, everything that Brady said was good. I'm just going to plug, just call a family member and say you love them. You never know when you get to not see him again. So just throwing that out there.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's a big thing, and you can make their day or even make, you know, reach out to a friend, yep, and all that stuff too.
Like, exactly.
Be there for each other, man. Like I said, we want to thank everybody for checking out this episode. Thank you. You know, we really wish you guys to be safe, healthy, take care of yourselves, take care of your family, take care of your friends. Just really, you know, be there for people. Be there for yourself. You know, it's not a bad thing to look out for yourself as well. Make sure you check out.
Don't be selfish. You can be selfish. Yeah,
you can be selfish. Yeah.
Do it.
We're on Twitter, Barroom Movies, Facebook, Instagram. We want to know what movies that you guys like from last year. We also want to know what movies you guys are looking forward to this year. We are going to be
We also want to know your blood type.
Social.
We want to know your social security number. Yep. Yeah, all that.
And peace.
Stay classy.
Bye, y'all.